We will open our Bibles now to Judges chapter 6. Judges chapter 6 and verse 11. This might surprise you because I know Dr. Saunders had two messages on the life of Gideon and this particular account from the book of Judges. Now, I wasn't here when he had those messages. I was in Barrie that day, and I wouldn't have even known that he was preaching on that. But in passing, someone mentioned it, and I was surprised because I was thinking of speaking on Gideon. And so I listened to the two messages on the internet, and I just listened to what he preached about, and the Lord confirmed that I should continue on and speak on this passage anyway, because it is a bit of a different look at this portion of Scripture. And so I trust that the Lord has something to teach us as He has brought us to this word again in just a few short weeks. We will read from Judges chapter 6 and verse 11. Reading in the Lord's name. And there came an angel of the Lord and sat under an oak which was in Ophrah that pertained unto Joash the Abiezrite, and his son Gideon threshed wheat by the winepress to hide it from the Midianites. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him and said unto him, The Lord is with thee, thou mighty man of valor. And Gideon said unto him, O my Lord, if the Lord be with us, why then is all this befallen us? And where be all his miracles which our fathers told us of, saying, Did not the Lord bring us up from Egypt? But now the Lord hath forsaken us and delivered us into the hands of the Midianites. And the Lord looked upon him and said, Go in this thy might, and thou shalt save Israel from the hand of the Midianites. Have not I sent thee? And he said unto him, O my Lord, wherewith shall I save Israel? Behold, my family is poor in Manasseh, and I am the least in my father's house. And the Lord said unto him, Surely I will be with thee, and thou shalt smite the Midianites as one man. May the Lord bless the reading of his word, and we will look unto the Lord for help now as we look at his word. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we thank thee for bringing us to thy house again. And as we look into thy holy word, we pray that thou would bless it to our hearts. May there be a word in season for each one here. O Lord, we pray that thou would be with us, that thou would fill me with thy Holy Spirit, that I would even speak the word of the Lord for each of us today. We thank thee, O Lord, for thy grace in our lives. And we pray that thou would work, continue to work in us, that we might be thy witnesses in this world. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Judges were raised by God to deliver God's people from their enemies and to purge Israel from their idolatries. Gideon was such a man. You know that he had to deal with the sin of his fathers. He had to destroy the altar of Baal, and there was sin in the camp. And so the Lord's people, God's people, were a defeated people. They were a people that were hiding and in fear from the people of the world. You think of the Midianites and the people they were, a godless heathen people. And yet they seem to have, at this point in history, they had dominion over God's people. What a sad state of affairs when the Lord's people are a defeated people. It is not right. Where is the church triumphant? Where is the church glorious when we see the world even in dominion over the people of God? Gideon was a man that was a most unlikely deliverer. I know Dr. Saunders spent some time on that. He was a man who saw himself as the least of his father's house. And he said his house, his father's family, was poor in Manasseh, poor in that tribe in Israel. He saw himself as the least of the least, we can say. And it is just such a man that the Lord chooses to do his work. God often chooses to do great things by those that are little, especially in their own eyes. Sometimes the Lord uses people that have various credentials, that have maybe a great pedigree, but he will not use those people unless they're little in their own eyes. No matter how great they might be, the Lord can only use them if they are broken before him, if they are humble, if they are of a contrite spirit. And so God chooses those that are small in their own eyes. Think of Jacob, God's servant, who, when he was to meet Esau and was in great fear, he prayed to the Lord. And when he prayed to the Lord, he said these words, "I'm not worthy of the least of thy mercies. I am not worthy of the least of thy mercies." And he continued to pray and he said, "But Lord, deliver me. Despite my unworthiness, deliver me." Matthew Henry, whose commentary over the years has been a great blessing to me, Matthew Henry says, commenting on that passage, "I am not worthy of the least of thy mercies," Matthew Henry says, "Those are best prepared for the greatest mercies that see themselves unworthy of the least." It's a very profound truth. Those are best prepared for the greatest mercies that see themselves unworthy of the least. How do we see ourselves? That is the question. How do we see ourselves? You know, in some ways, I could look at myself and I could say some of the words Paul said as pertaining to the law, blameless. I could say I was even a Pharisee in the sense that I grew up in a holy home with a father for a minister whose father was a minister as well. Continually under a godly influence, spared much of the troubles that others had to go through. Others that did not grow up in such a privileged background. And yet, as the Lord has worked upon me over the years, I see more and more my hopelessness, my helplessness, my smallness, if I can use that word, before the Lord. I see that I'm nothing more than what the Lord will make me. And I've learned the hard way sometimes that as soon as we think we might have a special strength, maybe a gift, and sure enough, we might have that gift from the Lord. But as soon as we think it is ours, the Lord will teach us a lesson. And in that very strength that we have, we'll fail. We will fail. We will look at that a little later. Some examples from God's Word. The Lord teaches us from this word of Scripture that He delights to use those that are little in their own eyes. And those are the ones He chooses to do His work. How do we see ourselves? How do we see ourselves? I think of the words of Pastor Theodore Monod of Paris, who wrote in one hymn, "All of self, none of thee. Some of self, some of thee. Less of self, more of thee. And then none of self, all of Thee. And that is the truth. None of self, all of the Lord. That is what we need. We need the Lord to crush ourself. We need Him to break us down and then to build us up in His strength. Now, the word I particularly want to look at from this portion we read is in verse 14. And here we read, "And the Lord looked upon him." And the Lord looked upon him. And some years ago, I was reading a devotional by F.B. Meyer, God's mighty servant, and he looked at this particular phrase from this portion. And it was always a blessing to me since then. I've spoken in some ways on that before. And the Lord looked upon him. This look was a speaking look. Looks can speak. I think of my grandfather when he was a boy. He came from a middle-class family. His father had a fairly prosperous tailor business. But he got into some bad company. He wasn't a saved man. And he lost his business and he lost everything. And he was thrown out of his house with his family eventually. And they hit rock bottom. And they began to live really in the slums of the city where they grew up, where the most vile and wicked men lived. Thieves and murderers. And my grandfather was transferred to another school. And he was about 10 years old at that time. And when he was dictating his address to the teacher's pen dropped out of his hand. And he had a look of horror on his eyes. And my grandfather recognized that look, but he didn't understand. He was too small to understand, too young to really understand what the significance of what the problem was. The teacher made him repeat the address because he couldn't believe his ears. He didn't think anybody from there would even come to school. And when my grandfather repeated that address, well, from that day on, the teacher began to despise him. But there was a look of terror and horror on that teacher's face. And my grandfather recognize that there was something wrong. Well, a look can speak. And here the Lord looks at Gideon with a speaking look. But it is a different look than that teacher looked with at my grandfather. This look was a look of deliverance. It was a look of salvation. It was a look of help. There were many aspects to it, and we'll look at a few aspects tonight. I'd like to look at this with you. That word look that is used in this passage in Hebrew, that word has to do with turning and facing someone. It really, the root of the word is to turn, indicating, the implication there is to face someone. You notice if you look a few verses back, we can only imagine how this was. We read that the angel of the Lord sat under an oak. And that is how he first appeared on the scene. He was sitting under an oak. But here in verse 14, and we believe this to be the Lord Jesus. Now, this really would take any doubt away from us because here we read, "And the Lord looked upon him." It's very direct. The Lord God Jehovah. The Lord looked upon him. But we read in this portion now that the Lord turned and faced him. So he engaged Gideon. It was a speaking look. It was a look that Matthew Henry says that strangely darted a new light and life into Gideon's breast. a look that darted new light and life into Gideon's breast. It was a speaking look, like Christ's look upon Peter when he denied him. It's very interesting. Only one of the Gospels mentions in the Gospel of Luke that the Lord, we read, turned and looked upon Peter. That's in Luke chapter 22 and verse 61. The Lord turned and looked upon Peter. Now that word there that's used for looked is to observe fixedly. The Lord looked upon Peter. It is the very same phrase. The Lord looked upon him, upon Gideon. The Lord looked upon Peter. It was a speaking look. The Lord did not call to Peter. He did not say anything to Peter. He only looked upon Peter, but it was enough. It was enough. It was a convincing look. Do you not know me, Peter? Look at me and tell me so. It was a rebuking look. The Lord looked at Peter, and surely Peter was rebuked. He denied the Lord not once, not twice, three times, when he said he would never deny the Lord. And just as soon as he did it, the Lord turned and looked upon him. We can only imagine what a look that was. It was a compassionate look. It was a compassionate look, for the Lord surely looked upon him with tenderness. The Lord loved Peter. The Lord had a purpose for Peter. And so the Lord looked upon him with compassion. And it was a look that had power. Power to change the heart of Peter, to bring him to repentance. And we know Peter repented. He grieved over what he did. It was a look that showed him what he had to do. The Lord didn't say anything. He just looked at Peter, and it was enough. With such a speaking look, the Lord looked upon Gideon here in this portion of Scripture. The Lord looked upon him. Now, it was first a look of expectation. It was a look of expectation. The Lord looked upon him and said, "Go in this thy might, and thou shalt save Israel." What a word that the Lord gives to Gideon. Thou shalt save Israel. The Lord expected something from Gideon. Matthew Henry says about this portion, when he talks about this powerful look the Lord gave and the Lord looked with towards Gideon, he says, "Until now you've been threshing wheat, but I will make you a thresher of men." It was a look of expectation. There is something more you will do. When Matthew Henry wrote this, I thought of the Lord's word to Peter and Andrew as they were casting their nets into the sea and fishing. And the Lord called them and the Lord told them, "I will make you fishers of men. Until now you've been catching fish, but I will make you something more. I will make you fishers of men." What does the Lord want to do in our life? It is a great matter to excite hope in a man, to tell him that you are anticipating some noble deed from him, and you may light a spark that will set his whole soul aglow. that be my rights. Surely we have looked upon others sometimes, maybe our children, and I know I did, with expectation for something more. We expect something more, something better. Even as a teacher, you do this all the time. Sometimes someone hands in something that does not represent their ability. And even if they do hand in something that is very good, you still expect that in time they'll be able to do even something more. For that is the way you train them and teach them, that they would be able to do something more. And the Lord comes here in His grace to Gideon, and He has an expectation of Gideon. Sometimes I think we can give up. We can be worn out and very defeated, like the Israelites were at this time. It was their own fault, but they were a defeated people. And they capitulated. They hid themselves. They made themselves dens and hid themselves in caves. And yet the Lord, in His mercy, He had an expectation of them and of Gideon specifically here. He expected something more. The Lord has a purpose for us. For as long as the Lord keeps us here, He has a purpose for us. This morning I was speaking to the old folks in the old folks' home. And sometimes, especially when people get old, they think, well, there's no reason why they're here anymore, that they should be here anymore. They capitulate. They're defeated. We can understand that sometimes. They're maybe very sickly. They're weak. They cannot do what they once could do. And yet, I told them, there's something more the Lord wants to do. Surely the Lord keeps us here as long as there is something more for us to do. And He has an expectation of us. I think of older people. It is the most blessed thing that they are a praying people. That is even one reason. Surely the Lord keeps older people here. We think of Christian now, older people, Christian people. That they would even be ones that would be prayer warriors. That they would be a testimony to the younger ones growing, coming up. That they would share with them their experiences with the Lord. Isn't that a great purpose for those who are older? You that are younger, may you be ones that would be interested to learn from those that are your elders in the Lord. The Lord had an expectation from Gideon. Now, this look of the Lord was also a look of encouragement. It was a look of encouragement. F.B. Meyer says, I will be with thee. Do not hesitate to look for me in every hour of need. Now, this was such a look. Such looks Christ still gives across the battlefields of life. Gives unto us. And if our eyes are fixed upon Him, we shall surely hear Him saying, my grace is sufficient for thee. Go in this thy might. The Lord had an expectation of Gideon, but He also looked upon him and encouraged him. I think of when I read the word encourage, and I was thinking of encouragement and how the Lord encourages, I thought of David. It's maybe a lesser known account, but it's known well enough. David, when he was in Ziklag, he came back to the city with his men. And he saw the city burned out and the women and the children were taken away by the Amalekites. And you know, in that time in David's life, it was a very difficult trial for his own men. Turned against him, and didn't just turn against him, they wanted to stone him. They wanted to stone David. They were desperate. And we read that David encouraged himself in the Lord. David encouraged himself in the Lord. Surely as he looked unto the Lord for encouragement, the Lord was looking upon him with that look of encouragement. And he gave him encouragement. For where else could David look in that situation? Where else can we look for true encouragement? The Lord looked upon Gideon with this look of encouragement. And then the Lord looked upon him with a strength-giving look. A look of strength-giving might. F.B. Meyer writes, a look of strength-giving might. The Lord says to him, go in this thy might. What might? It wasn't go in thy might. It was go in this thy might. This newly received might that I have given to thee. Go in this thy might. From that moment on, from the moment of that look, accompanied by that summons of the Lord, he arose in a strength that never afterwards faltered. He went forward. Now we know he asked for a sign and so on, but he went forward from that moment. The Lord looked upon him with a look of strength-giving might. You know, we are no less than the Lord makes us. We often think of the truth that we are no more than the Lord makes us, but we are also no less than the Lord makes us. And sometimes I think in a defeated state, in a state of maybe discouragement, sometimes in different trials, we can be less than the Lord makes. We can feel that way, but we shouldn't be any less than the Lord has made us. The Lord has given us all the riches of Christ. The Lord has made us a blessed people. We think of some of the great privileges we have. We are called a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation. The most blessed people. The Lord has blessed us greatly. And so we are no less than the Lord has made us. But we are also no more than the Lord has made us. We can sometimes, as we head forward and take our eyes off the Lord, we can sometimes be sure of our own strength and ability. And it is a very singular thing that some of the great men of God in the Bible failed in their point of strength. I believe that is given to us for a warning. It was some years ago I was reading in a devotional this very, very truth. And it really struck me from Dwight Moody, who wrote that everything human in this world fails. Every man, the moment he takes his eyes off God, has failed. Even the mightiest men of God in the Scriptures, the moment they got their eye off God, they were weak like other men. And it is a very singular thing that those men failed on the strongest point in their character. I suppose it was because they were not on the watch. Abraham was noted for his faith, but he denied his wife. You know, he lied about his wife being his sister. His faith failed in that moment. He took his eyes off the Lord there just for that moment, and he failed. He was a great man of faith, but he failed. even in denying his wife. Moses was noted for his meekness. And yet, he lost his temper. He lost his temper and got angry. And he did not enter the promised land because of it. The Lord gives these examples to us as a warning. That was his strength, the meekest of men. And he failed right there in his strength. Elijah was noted for his power in prayer and for his courage. Yet he became a coward. He was the boldest man of his day and stood before Ahab and the royal court and all the prophets of Baal. Yet when he heard that Jezebel had threatened his life, he ran away to the desert and under a juniper tree prayed that he might die. He was known for, and we think of Elijah as a great man of courage and boldness, a man of power and prayer. But he failed. He was in fear at that point in his life. And then we looked at Peter already. Peter was noted for his boldness. And a little maid scared him nearly out of his wits. Moody writes, as soon as she spoke to him, he began to tremble and swore that he didn't know Christ. I have often said to myself that I'd like to have been there on the day of Pentecost, alongside of that maid, when she saw Peter preaching. Peter, a bold, mighty man of the Lord, and yet he failed in that point of his strength, the strength of his character. He was a courageous man. But as soon as he took his eyes off the Lord, he failed in his strength. What about our weaknesses? If we fail in our strengths, what about our weaknesses? Does it not tell us how much we need to rely on the Lord? How dependent we are on the Lord? How much we need Him every step of the way? We are surely no more than the Lord makes us. And as soon as we think we are good at something, as soon as we think we have some special ability, and we go out in our own strength, we will fail. And we have failed. You have failed. I have failed. We need the Lord to look upon us with this look of strength-giving might. We need that look. And the Lord is looking down upon us. He is looking at you now. He's looking at us. The question is, if we are looking at Him. That is the question. Are we looking at the Lord? You know, the Lord never takes His eyes off of us. Truly, do we think the Lord takes His eyes off of us? Is the Lord ever distracted? Or is the Lord tired? Or does He forget about us? The Lord is looking upon us continually. That should make us really think how we live, how we conduct ourselves. But what we should think about now is if we are looking unto Him, looking unto the Lord, looking unto the author and finisher of our faith. Are we looking unto Him? If you just turn to the book of Acts for a minute, the book of Acts chapter 3. As I was preparing for this message, the Lord brought this word to my mind. From Acts chapter 3 and verse 4. And this is the passage where Peter and John go to the temple. And at the gate, which is called Beautiful, they meet the lame man. And in verse 4, we read, "And Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, said, Look on us." Peter, fastening his eyes, he looked upon this man with John. It's interesting. It's very, very specific. Fastening his eyes upon him with John, said, "Look on us." That man wasn't even looking up. He was a defeated man. Sometimes, like some of us, wasn't even looking up. I suppose he just had his hand out, or maybe he was holding something where people put their alms, and he was too weary of even looking up. And when Peter and John said this to him, "Look on us," he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them. But I'll tell you what, he received much more than he ever could have expected. Isn't that a wonderful truth from this portion of Scripture? He looked upon the Lord. If we look upon the Lord, we will receive more than we can even comprehend. More than we can, than I could even explain to you. More than any preacher could say. He expected to receive something of them. What did he expect to receive? Well, I suppose some money. But Peter said, "Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." And that man was healed from that moment. Immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. And he stood up and he praised the Lord. And all the people saw him walking and praising God. That man was a changed man because he looked upon Peter. But ultimately, he looked upon the Lord. Isn't that the truth? He looked upon the Lord. Matthew Henry writes about this portion. The man does his part. He looks up towards Peter. And Peter does his part. He calls to the attention of this man. But it is Christ that does it all. For the Lord Jesus gave that man even faith, gave him that faith to look beyond Peter, to look to Jesus Christ of Nazareth. And he lifted up his gaze to the Lord. And that man was changed. And we believe that man was a believer. For the Lord smote him that day. He was a defeated man, lame from his youth, over 40 years old, we read. 40 years of misery. How long has it been with us? Some of us, maybe you don't know the Lord here. How old are you? Whatever it is, 40 years of misery, 50 years, 30 years of misery. By the Lord, One look towards the Lord changed this man forever. Are we looking upon the Lord? Are we looking upon, even as believers, we can take our eyes off the Lord. We do take our eyes off the Lord. And we fail when we take our eyes off of Him. Let's lift our gaze towards the Lord today. Let's think of God's word to Gideon here. May this word be a challenge in our own life. There was expectation of Gideon. The Lord expects something more of us. The Lord has a purpose for us. The Lord looked upon Gideon with encouragement. It was an encouraging look. And the Lord looked upon him with a look of strength-giving might. Gideon, as he looked at the Lord, he received much more than he could have ever imagined. Like the lame man whose life was changed, Gideon smote the Midianites without doing anything. Well, surely, yes, he did obey the Lord, and he had the 300 men, and they had their pitchers, and they obeyed the Lord in those things, but the Midianites destroy themselves. Could Gideon have ever imagined such a deliverance? Surely he couldn't. It was beyond words. We look upon this, I wonder, just because we know this account so well, if it just hasn't lost some of its wonder. But it was something more than Gideon could have ever imagined that the Lord gave him. He gave him a great deliverance. Do we need a deliverance? Do we need strength from the Lord? Surely we do in our life. Every day we do. We sang, the young people sang, I need thee every hour. We need the Lord every minute. We need the Lord every step of the way. May the Lord help us. If you're not saved today, the Lord says, look unto me and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth. We're speaking about looking. What a great word. Look unto me. Look unto me. And be saved, all the ends of the earth. As believers, let's look unto the Lord, who is the author and finisher of our faith. We read in Hebrews chapter 12, and we'll just close with this word. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. One man of God said, the same eye cannot both look up to heaven and down to the earth at the same time. The same eye cannot do it. We need to look unto the Lord. May the Lord help us to fix our gaze upon Him and keep it there for our everyday sustenance and help, for that strength that we need, for that encouragement we need, for that help that we need to do the Lord's business, to be on our Master's errand as we walk upon this earth. May the Lord bless His word to our hearts. And we will close off with singing hymn number 312. The first and the last verse. Turn your eyes upon Jesus, a most fitting hymn to close with as we have been thinking about this. Hymn number 312, the first and the last verse, and we will stand to sing. For a word of prayer, please. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we thank Thee for this time around Thy Word. And we pray that Thou would bless it unto us. Help us, O Lord, for we are a needy people. Help us to turn our eyes upon Jesus, look full in His wonderful face, and then the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of His glory and grace. And we believe this to be true, O Lord. We have experienced this. And we pray, O Lord, that we would experience this every day, every moment that the devil would even come to distract us or to make us worry, to shake our faith. We pray that we would turn our eyes and keep them on the Lord. Help us, O Lord. And we pray for any that might not be saved, to help them, O Lord, to look unto Thee and be saved. For Thou art God and there is none else. And so, Lord, we pray now that Thou would dismiss us with Thy fear and in Thy blessing. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.